Welcome to NeuroFrontiers on ReachMD. I'm psychiatric nurse practitioner Ashley Baker, and I'm speaking with Dr. Stanley Karoff, who is Emeritus Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania Perelman School of Medicine and the VA Medical Center in Philadelphia. Today, we'll be discussing his research on the treatment of schizophrenia with catatonic symptoms. Dr. Karoff, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Ashley.
So to start us off, why is it important to know about schizophrenia with catatonic symptoms?
Well, it's an auspicious time to be talking about this. This is actually the 150-year anniversary of a famous textbook written by Kalbaum in Germany, in which he first talked about and described catatonia as an independent disorder. But unfortunately, subsequently and throughout the 20th century, catatonia became connected mostly with schizophrenia, as if it were a type of schizophrenia, virtually synonymous with schizophrenia. So unfortunately, people who had catatonia were assumed to have schizophrenia and were treated with antipsychotic drugs. But people didn't realize that antipsychotic drugs can themselves cause or even worsen catatonia. So many people were harmed. But fortunately, today it's recognized and accepted that catatonia itself is a neuropsychiatric syndrome that can be caused by many different kinds of brain disorders and is not specifically related to schizophrenia alone. And that's been codified in DSM and so forth.
So that being said, can you explain in a little bit more detail the typical presentation and what we would see with someone with schizophrenia with catatonic symptoms and how specifically it differs from schizophrenia without catatonia?
Well, that's a really very important question. In a sense, we don't really know whether in a patient with schizophrenia, if they have catatonia, that's different in any way from people with schizophrenia who don't have catatonia. So, for example, is catatonia just a state-related epiphenomena of being psychotic, or is it somehow a core dimension of having schizophrenia itself? But to get to your question, the presentation of catatonia in schizophrenia really covers the whole gamut of what we know of as catatonic symptoms, a full range of things. So it could be somebody presenting with hypokinetic withdrawal and immobility or stupor, or it could even be someone with schizophrenia who's excited and agitated. But apart from those quantitative changes in motor activity, whether they're withdrawn or they have too much activity, there are also peculiar qualitative motor symptoms of catatonia, like waxy flexibility and posturing, stereotypies and mannerisms as well. Catatonia can also manifest in peculiar speech changes or echo phenomena, or people with catatonia can show changes in their voluntary control of their behavior. So they can be extremely negativistic, or they can have what we call automatic obedience. So there's a wide range of peculiar psychomotor disorders that characterize catatonia in general that also can be seen in schizophrenia. What's also important is to take note of whether catatonia in a patient with schizophrenia is an acute, sudden episode, if it occurs periodically throughout their disorder, or if it's a chronic aspect, a presentation of their schizophrenia. These patients with chronic catatonic symptoms may actually have a worse prognosis and not as responsive to treatment.
So if a patient presents, we know that they have schizophrenia, and now they're presenting catatonic. What is the standard treatment?
Well, I think in general, you could say that the treatment of catatonia and schizophrenia is the same as the treatment of catatonia in any condition. So what you want to do if you have a patient who presents with catatonia is first recognize the symptoms of catatonia, which are often missed, and then perform a differential diagnosis. Because as we said, catatonia is a neuropsychiatric syndrome that can present in many kinds of brain disorders. So the first thing to do would be to rule out some sort of organic brain disease, especially encephalitis, which has become a condition of interest recently. Once you rule out medical, neurologic, organic causes of catatonia, You have to consider mood disorder, especially bipolar disorder, because catatonic symptoms are very common in people with bipolar disorder. But finally, when you rule those out and the patient may have schizophrenia, nevertheless, if the patient presents with a catatonic picture, if they're stuporous and mute, the first line treatments would include lorazepam or a benzodiazepine. If that fails, or if they're in critical condition because they're not eating and taking care of themselves, ECT continues to be probably the most effective treatment for an acute episode of catatonia. Now, if those fail in a small minority of patients, there are other drugs that have been looked at, like so-called NMDA antagonists like amantadine or memantine, and there are others as well. As for antipsychotics, I mean, the patient has schizophrenia, but if they're presenting with acute catatonia, a stuporous mute state, then you really should treat the catatonia first with lorazepam or ECT. And once that resolves, then you can consider antipsychotics for the underlying schizophrenia.
Was there anything further that you wanted to touch on that you feel is important to our audience to know about second generation antipsychotics and ECT?
That's an unfortunate question because of misunderstandings, misconceptions about the modern practice of ECT. But in fact, especially for a catatonic patient who's stuporous and mute, catatonic patient especially, can be life-threatening. And that's especially true if it becomes a more malignant form of catatonia. But even simple, benign catatonia itself, people are not eating, they're not moving, they're not taking care of themselves. So there's a very high incidence of malnutrition, phlebitis leading to pulmonary emboli, infections, aspiration pneumonia, and even death. So it's not a benign situation. And in those situations, something like ECT, which can be very quickly effective in relieving the catatonic stupor, can be life-saving. So we would just try to present the facts to a patient or family about the real strong evidence of efficacy. It's tolerated well if it's done properly, and the consequences if it is not done, and try to answer their questions as best we could. So it really is the treatment of choice in catatonia that's not responsive to medications and goes on for a period of time, and especially if it takes a malignant form. There were older studies actually that looked at the effectiveness of antipsychotics in people with schizophrenia who also have catatonic symptoms, and they seemed to show that people with chronic schizophrenia who also had chronic catatonic symptoms really weren't helped very much by the older first generation agents. But the newer agents that are less likely to cause neurologic complications are probably effective and the drugs of choice in people who have schizophrenia once the catatonic symptoms have been effectively treated and resolved by lorazepam or ECT. So SGA, second generation agents, and maybe especially clozapine, which of course has other side effects to consider, are probably the drugs to choose if you have a patient with schizophrenia who had catatonic symptoms in the past, spontaneously or as a side effect of previous antipsychotics, or if they continue to have what we call parakinetic symptoms of catatonia. So the second generation agents and clozapine in particular are probably good choices in people who have chronic schizophrenia once any stupor, mutism, or acute catatonic symptoms have been resolved.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Neuro Frontiers on ReachMD. I'm psychiatric nurse practitioner Ashley Baker, and I'm speaking with Dr. Stanley Karoff about his research on the treatment of schizophrenia with catatonic symptoms. So, given everything that we've discussed so far, Dr. Karoff, what does all of this mean for the treatment and the clinical practice setting? In what types of settings may we see this? Is it mostly emergency room, inpatient? Could we possibly see this in our offices?
Well, catatonia is probably more prevalent than people realize. And I think if we learn to recognize catatonic symptoms, they're quite common, especially in people with schizophrenia. certainly can be seen in the emergency room where a person presents with mutism and stupor, they're not responsive, or certainly in a psychiatric unit. Also in medical and surgical settings, sometimes they're brought in because they failure to thrive, they're not eating, not taking care of themselves, seem confused, they wind up on a medical ward and they're found to have catatonic symptoms. That's not uncommon. If they present in the office, well, the acute stuporous mute person may present initially, but obviously has to be referred to the hospital. But you may have people with chronic schizophrenia who you're treating who don't have an acute stupor or urgent presentation, but they may have ongoing peculiar psychomotor behavior or delay in responding, things like that, that suggest they also have catatonia. There are other forms of catatonia that may present that you may see. There's so-called excited catatonic excitement, which is the opposite of the immobile withdrawn patient. And that may actually, more often than not, is a sign of severe or delirious mania. So you have to consider that as the underlying diagnosis.
What remains some of the challenges, if any, in standardizing the treatment of catatonic symptoms in schizophrenia? And if there are still residual challenges here, how would you suggest that we overcome them clinically?
Well, the challenges are just getting the word out to increase awareness and education and recognition of what catatonic symptoms are and the simple paradigm for treating them. And then in reality, as often the case, we really don't have very much controlled evidence on how best to treat someone with schizophrenia who also has catatonic symptoms. Most of what we're talking about today are based on clinical observational studies and clinical experience. So it'd be great to have more controlled studies and trials of what are the special needs of someone or treatments of someone who has both schizophrenia and catatonic symptoms. So we need more awareness and more research.
Before we close, are there any final thoughts that you would like to share with our audience that you find to be key takeaways here?
There is good news that we've made a lot of progress in the last few decades in recognizing and understanding catatonia as an independent neuropsychiatric syndrome. It does occur in schizophrenia, but it's not restricted to schizophrenia. We've advanced in accepting that really good treatment of catatonia per se with lorazepam and ECT, but there is still a challenge, as we've talked about today, in treating catatonia in relation to schizophrenia, because antipsychotics, while very effective for schizophrenia, have a downside and can be poorly tolerated by people with catatonia. So the takeaway is sequential, and when you have a patient with schizophrenia and catatonia, you sort of treat sequentially, first address and treat the catatonia, try to resolve that with lorazepam ECT, but then SGAs or clozapine are very effective for those people as they are for other people with schizophrenia. And finally, there's a need for greater awareness and more data on this entire subject.
So this has been a very insightful discussion about the treatment of schizophrenia with catatonic symptoms. And I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Stanley Karoff, for sharing his insights. Dr. Karoff, it was wonderful speaking with you today, and thank you for all of the information that you shared with us.
Thank you as well.
For ReachMD, I'm Ashley Baker. To access this and other episodes in our series, visit NeuroFrontiers on ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.